Hi and welcome to the third mastery strategy. This video is about how to get to the point really where, or the next video is really about how to get to the point where you are really, really passionate about practicing, about playing, to the point where you obsess about it almost. Because if you talk to anyone who is a master of anything, you will find that all these people had this intense periods of time. It didn't go like, well, I practiced 10 hours for 2 years or 3 or 10 years. It goes up and down like this. So you have intense periods where you really go into it and you practice all the time you can. And then after a couple of months or weeks, then you go down again. Then you reignite your passion, you go up again. So it's an up and down thing. But when I started out playing, I was 10 years old and I learned these, you know, campfire chords and a bit of classical material, and I really didn't go into it like that. I had a teacher, saw him every week, you know, but there was no massive passion behind what I did there. I was playing guitar because my mom told me to pick an instrument, and so I did. But then when I was 16, something happened. I saw this first instructional video I've ever seen, you know, VHS tape, old school. I saw Paul Gilbert play the most amazing thing on his electrical guitar. And in that second where I watched that, because I was playing guitar and I was getting kind of, you know, good vibes from my friends because I could play guitar, so I was used to that being actually quite a cool thing to be able to do that. But then I saw him, and that just, my mind just went crazy, because what it really concluded was that if I could play like that, I would have everything that I ever wanted. You know, the admiration of other people, I would travel the world because I would be a musician, and my work would just, you know, be me standing on a stage and be admired by thousands of people, which was a really great thing when I was 16. And all the things, you know, money, everything that I could ever want was right there in front of me. And so he showed me all these crazy things, and then he told me how to do it afterwards. And so I just went nuts from then on. And so passion, and really this obsession about playing, comes from the brain connecting every single thing you have ever wanted in your life to that, to playing guitar. And so that playing guitar becomes more important than making a living sometimes, more important than, you know, eating, drinking, you know, basic stuff, because the brain, oh, just wait with that. We don't have to eat now because this will be worth it. And then all that energy comes channeled into practicing, into learning that. And of course it goes up and down. It's not like, even though most people who master anything remember that they practiced, you know, 8 hours a day for years, but no one did, because you can't. You know, passion goes up and down, enthusiasm goes up and down. We need a little rest, emotional rest from that high intensity, and then we can go right back into it. That's really what the next video is about, how to get there. But there's a barrier to getting there. And the most important barrier that we have to deal with before we can get there is a thing called skepticism. There's quite a lot of people who think that skepticism is just a code word for being intelligent. You know, when a salesperson comes along and tells you that it's amazing, you can do all these things, then we have the optimist, right? He's the one who always just said, oh, wonderful, let me go ahead and buy it. I'll call TV shop right now and order it all. And then there's a skepticist, is that the right word, who says, oh, let me just think about that. Let me see, trying to find the pitfalls and the holes in the salesperson's explanations, right? He's looking for reasons why that is not true. That might be an intelligent way of thinking and behaving in some situations. But if that is your basic operating system, you know, like Windows or whatever, if that is part of your code and you always attack life and people with that, not attack people, but, you know, it's always there. It's always something that is, whenever you think about something, skepticism is always in the moving in the background there as how you analyze your world. And why is this a barrier to mastery? Well, because if I go ahead and tell you that you can really do that, you know, master the guitar at an incredible level, that everyone can do it because we have the same nervous system. And if you use the same strategies, the same methods that those people who actually made it used, then, although they don't know what they did because, you know, then you will get the same result. If you then, and of course you need to personalize those methods and say, okay, Klaus, those are great strategies. Let me try those on like a coat and see if it fits. And then you adjust it, you change it a little until it works perfectly for you. Of course, that's also true. But you will never get to that point if you have skepticism running in the background, in the back of your mind. Because skepticism does the following. Whenever I give you a new idea, or you just get an idea yourself and say, maybe I can learn to play amazingly, then the skeptic comes in and says, okay, the first thing we do is see if we can prove him wrong. That's skepticism. Optimism is, let's see if we can prove him right. And that's a very different operational system to have running in the back of your head. And here's why. When you get an idea, as we've been talking about in the first and the second video, an idea becomes a belief by looking for proof that that idea is actually true. So if I go ahead, let's say somebody comes to me and says, you can learn to play amazingly on that instrument. If you do the right things in the right order, then you will achieve it, guaranteed. If somebody comes along and says that, and I have these ideas about talent and these people who master this instrument are amazing aliens from another planet, almost, then I'm going to be skeptical. And that means that I'm going to look for proof that the idea is not true. But that's not the only thing. I'm also going to unconsciously manifest proof that it is not true. If I'm an optimist, I'm going to say, oh, that might be true. Let's see if we can find evidence that that is actually true. It's just, it's the same thing you do, really, but it's just a different approach, a slightly different approach, and that slight difference there makes all the difference in the end. Because if I start and see if it's true, I look for proof that it's true, and when I look for it, I'm going to find it. For instance, let's say you are going to play a gig, and you feel a bit uncomfortable because you know that you're going to perhaps warm up for a very famous band or whatever. So you feel nervous because you have the idea in your head that people are probably not going to like your band, the music, and your performance. That's the idea. So you walk on stage with that idea. How does that make you feel when you think that? How does that make you play and perform? How does that make you relate to the audience? If you are just a little bit afraid of the audience and their possible judgment of you, how's that going to make you act? Well, you're not going to be as, you know, out there as you would if you just were convinced of the opposite. Of course not. You're going to be more closed off, more afraid. You're going to go for less of the cool stuff, the flashy stuff, because you just keep it safe here because I'm nervous. So the more negative expectations you have of the situation, the more nervous you're going to be. And the greater the chance that you're actually going to be judged by the audience, because you're going to go like this and you're going to... I hope you see what I mean. So you manifest, you create proof in your world that your idea is actually true. So you go home from that concert and go, thought, hey, there you go, see, you know, they didn't like our band because you were going like this, and they didn't like my performance. No, people weren't really out there. No, because you weren't out there, because you started with an idea about, and so you created the proof. I hope that makes sense. And we do that in all sorts of situations. That's why skepticism is self-reinforcing. So skepticists, people who do that all the time, where it's a very big part of their basic operational system in their brain, is going to manifest proof that being a skeptic is really the right thing. It's the most intelligent thing to be all the time, because you get, you know, people, they trick you into doing all sorts of stuff. They try to sell you crap, and you better be on guard, and you better be a skeptic, because if you're not, people are just going to, you know, cheat you. And so when you address life like that, confront life like that, and so you're a skepticist all the time, people go say, hi, my name is Helena, what is your name? And you're going to go, hello, And you always, you know, I'm a skeptic. I don't want to reveal too much to this person. You never know what you get into. So you are skeptic about that relationship. And so you manifest again, because this closed off person who's less open will manifest that people are probably not going to, you know, I hope you get my point here. It's very important. But because when you're an optimist, the opposite thing happens. And you might sometimes not see, that's true, that, well, maybe that wasn't true what the salesperson said, but being an optimist does not keep you from being intelligent. You are just intelligent in another way. So instead of looking for pitfalls all the time, you go, let's look for proof that this is actually true. But you're still looking for proof. So without the proof, you're not going to create the belief that you can actually do it. So if I tell you, you can do it, you look for proof and say, okay, Klaus, sounds amazing. I can do it, you say. Where's the proof? And then when you have enough proof, at some point you say, okay, that's enough for me. Let's go for it. This sounds amazing. Let's dive into it. But the skepticist never gets there. Never. And so when you look around, you know, in all areas of life and you find the masters of stuff, you will never find one who's actually mostly skeptical about things. It's not possible because you can never get to the point where you have all that great enthusiastic energy that will really bring you to that point of mastery. You won't, because building your skills on this instrument really requires you to go through these periods, as we've been talking about, where it's hard or it seems hard. Sometimes it just seems impossible. How do you get through that? Well, the optimist gets through that. The skepticist just goes, oh, there you go. See, it's too hard. I can't do it, as we've been talking about. So being a skeptic is really the mental manifestation of the first principle we talked about in these videos, of thinking or doubting that I can actually do it and have that doubt there. So that's really the point here. So how do you get from being a skepticist to an optimist? Well, that's the big question. We're going to look at some methods in the next video of how you can really boost your enthusiasm and your passion. But how do we remove the skepticism from your life? Well, what you do is you begin to see that that is going on. You ask yourself the question, how do I look upon optimists? Is that a positive trait in people? Is that, hey, if somebody goes, hey, look, my new friend here, he's really optimistic. He's a really, it's great. Do you resist that in some way? Is that, ooh, that sounds, a happy-go-lucky person. I don't want to, yuck. Because if you do, that's really a sign that you might have some skepticism running in the base of your system. And if you do, and you start looking for that, for signs of that all the time, well, maybe I'm pretty nervous every time I have to perform in front of people. Could that be a sign that I'm skeptical about my own abilities? And it's not a simple thing, this. I can't give you a technique and then boom, it's gone. But what really works and what always works when you move from being a skeptic to being an optimist is that you start looking for it all the time. And when you find it and say, oh, that's pretty skeptical of me, then you can consciously choose something else once you've seen it. So if you feel that you were kind of skeptical around a video where I'm talking about the non-existing concept of talent, or at least in this world of guitar, then perhaps you were skeptical about that. Or were you curious about that? Because if you're curious, what does he mean by that? Oh, that's being optimistic, but being skeptical is something else. You're trying to look for proof that it's not true, as we said before. So you start looking into yourself at your behavior and looking for proof that you're actually being skeptical. And once you see it, you can do something else in the situation. You might have that skepticism running anyway. You know, you hear a concept and then you can feel that skepticism. Oh, that's probably not true. Oh, I probably can't do it. I tried so many times before. Why would I succeed now? And so you hear that in your head and you get the emotions of that dialogue in your head, and you wake up to it. that might not mean that you can actually just shift and say, okay, now I'm optimistic, and then that feeling of probably can't do it just disappears like that. That's not how it works. But you can consciously say, okay, how would I act if I were an optimist? Well, I would look for proof that it's actually true. How can I come up with that? Look at my own life. How is it true that you don't need talent? That it's actually just a matter of using the right strategies and the right methods and then applying them enough times until you get the result. How can I see that that is true? How can I find proof that that is actually true? And then look in your own experience, from school time, whatever, in other people's experience, and start looking for proof there. And gradually, as an idea you plant in your head grows into a belief, this also grows into a belief. If you entertain that idea long enough and look for proof that it's actually true, that being skeptical is not the most functional, the most effective way to go about this. So, and what can really happen, you know, if you believe that you can do it and you turn out to be wrong, then what have you, you know, you believed you could do it, so you practiced like an insane person for 2 years. That cannot not make you better. You cannot become a worse guitar player by practicing and, you know, getting new methods of playing and really looking into it and say, how can I achieve this? And you do that for 2 years, and then, you know, you didn't get to the skill level, but you still, you know, you improved. So nothing can really happen from believing it. But what skeptics are the most afraid of, this is the final statement here, what we are the most afraid of is that we go out. This is the nightmare of the skepticist. He goes out into the world and then he imagines, oh, I can really do it. And he tells all his friends, I'm going to be one of the best guitarists in the world, you know. And I'm living in some kind of, you know, desolate city in northern something, you know, in the countryside. And people go, are you sure that's actually true? And you know how people can be skeptic in the countryside, right? I come from a little city like that. But so he goes out and says, I can really do it. And then, you know, 6 months after, he finds out, well, I couldn't do it. Like that would ever happen, but because you can't find proof that you cannot actually do it unless you are still in the process. So that's what we're the most afraid of, that everybody's going to, he thought he could do it, and look at him now. Oh, he was so enthusiastic about it, and he had all these plans, and he wanted to conquer the world, and he wanted to quit his day job and started teaching on the internet, whatever. That was his plan. Oh, look, he couldn't do it. I mean, what a hothead. And that's really the nightmare, as I said, for the skepticist, because that's what we just want to, we protect ourselves. That's the real reason for being a skeptic. Because then if I don't believe anything and I don't go into anything with, you know, full on, full passion, full enthusiasm and believe in stuff, then I cannot fail. I can just be in my little comfortable safe zone here and just, you know, do the things I do and never really rise above anything or anybody in anything. So I'm safe. So I trade safety instead of, you know, all the great things of being passionate about stuff. So that's really it. So that is not the way to go for anybody. And if you can break out of it, you must. Because the other world of being an optimist and going for it and feeling the passion, feeling like a little kid before Christmas and just, oh, looking forward to every single improvement you make and you practice and you say, oh my, if I can just, you know, learn to play these three notes at that level, that would just be amazing. Just imagine what I could do with that. If I could learn this, then da, ba, ba, and all of that. So you go crazy with all the great stuff that you can achieve if you are the optimist or if you choose to think like the optimist. So ask yourself the hard question. Do I have this virus inside of me? Do I have this pestilence built into my psychology? And then ask yourself that question on a regular basis and look at your actions. Look at how you react to different situations. Look at what you say no to, what you don't believe in, and say, is that part? And then you can consciously start gradually to doing something else. And each and every step you take, every time you get better and you choose to do something else than you would have done usually from a skeptical point of view, then you get a little better. But this time you get better at a core level. So instead of working on your technique, you work at the core that's going to make you better at your technique. So instead of working at the surface, you're working with core level power here. So as you get better and you grow more optimistic and you believe even stronger in the fact that you can do it, in the fact that it's going to be amazing, that you're going to reach the promised land, then you become better at everything. Your technique improves because you practice more. So that's really the core message here. So be conscious about it and then work your way out of it if you have it. And most people have, because most people have this basic, to some degree anyway, we try to protect ourselves from being judged by other people. So everyone can do something here, and I can too. So focus on it. See what you can do about it, and then work your way out of it as far away as you can come from it, and then be intelligent. Be an intelligent optimist, and then say, oh, that might be true. Let's look for proof that it's true. While we have just a little bit of focus on, the pitfalls that might be in this, without that being our primary mission whenever we hear something positive about what we can do and how we can develop. Those were the words, a little longer video than I expected, but I'll try to keep it shorter in the next one. So see you there.